Good morning. I hope it's still morning. It's great to be here with you at Good Tidings and to be asked to lead in the study of God's Word as we look at the biblical teaching, the subject of prayer. I'm going to need your prayers as we study the subject of prayer. And I think you'd agree with me, if there's ever a time when we need prayer, it is now. I think all of us would agree that we are living during a trying and a critical time. We don't have enough time during this crisis to make certain that our contents of our prayer are grammatically correct. It's a time when you just have to call out to God as you know how. As you know how. And the best place to do that type of praying is in your closet. It's in your closet. I'm going to begin by introducing you to the subject of prayer. There are various passages that I want us to look at, and an outline of how we're going to proceed with our studies. But the study is going to be biblical. Biblical. That's going to be denominational. It's not going to come from the writings of the policies of a synod or a committee. Thank God that I'm a part of a group of Christians that whenever I'm asked to address God's people, no directives has ever been given to me by the elders. No direction, no policy reminder. I most of the time, at least I hope, I'm invited to speak because I attempt to handle the word of God faithfully and truly. And that's my prayer, that will be the aim and the objective of our study. So let me go ahead and introduce the subject. Maybe I have to use it outside of this. Didn't I tell you that I need prayer? You know I ain't lying. Where are my technician? My technicians. Let me see when I can. Okay, we're talking about prayer. And the first part is prayer and the nature and power of prayer. So this is part one. Just going to introduce that. And we're going to answer the question, what is prayer? And in an attempt to answer that, I want us to begin with some correction by looking at some things that are prayer is not. Prayer is not just asking God for things. I don't know if you have discovered that yet, but it's more than that. In fact, it is when we define prayer that way that people will tell you who are not Christians that God has answered their prayer. Interesting. It's interesting that they'll tell you that God hears the prayer of a sinner, even though the Bible says the opposite. But if we reduce prayer to just asking for things, then anybody can ask. Well, prayer is not just asking God for things. Surely it includes that. No doubt about it, but it's much more than that. Prayer is not preaching to God. It's a well-learned habit of brothers. We like to conduct Bible study in our prayers. Yes, we love to do that. We love to preach. Sometimes we even call people's names who need prayer. And that's not a decent way to pray in public. You pray that way in your closet. But when you're doing representational and priestly prayer, you make certain you order your steps and your words are right. We don't need to conduct a Bible study with God. We don't have to tell him about the dusty streets of Jerusalem. We don't have to tell him about the temperature of Palestine. Those are distractions in prayer, you'd agree with me. But prayer is not preaching to God. Prayer is not taking gossip to God, not talking gossip. God is a God of truth. Limit the contents of your prayer to truth, that which is truthful, in terms of your GPS, where you are, your location. Don't talk to God as if you've been an obedient, faithful child of His when you know otherwise. We're going to talk some more about that. Come truthfully to God. And it makes a lot of sense. We're going to say some more about that in a moment. So prayer is not taking gossip to God. And prayer is not the killing of time. I know it's because you have on your mask why we don't hear more amen. But yes, I thought I would unmask that. The fact of the matter is that, brothers, there are some things we need to rethink about our prayer meeting, when we have prayer meeting. We have a traditional way of naming items, Brother Archie. And the first person who stands up to pray exhausts the prayer list. The rest of the praying constitute a signature. Just a signature. You don't need one hour to sign a paper. We need to be able to take one item and present it before God, citing the case. We're going to see. We're going to look at prayers in the Bible as examples. We're going to look at the anatomy of prayer. We're going to see how inspired men and women prayed. So it's not that I'm giving you an opinion or a dissatisfaction. I'm going to show you from Scripture that we need to make sure that our prayer are basically intelligent and clear. Clear. One of the reasons why prayer needs to be clear is that you need to know when God answers. And to be honest with you, asking God to bless you is not a prayer. It's a statement. To be able to open your mouth to ask God that you're already blessed, what more do you want? We're going to talk about that. Be honest with God. Be honest to God. So these are some of the things that are not biblical prayer. So let's get on the positive side. Prayer is communication between the Lord and His people. It is relational. If you are part of a family, you have great respect for your parent, and you notice that there's someone equal your age, a young man, a young woman. You notice that he or she doesn't turn up for duties. And that person has a way of coming to your father and say, Daddy. Not a sibling. Don't sleep in the house. Don't live in the house. But whenever they need something, the person say, Daddy. Now, if you are a child of that father, and somebody else who is not the father's child saying, Daddy, that should disturb you. That should disturb you. Prayer requires a relationship. It's very important that we understand. First of all, there is a relationship between God, Creator, and creation. And that's why the lilies don't pray. Birds don't pray. Animals don't pray, but they are taken care of by the Creator. He takes care of His creation. He supplies the needs of His creation. That's not the relationship that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the relationship of being a child of God. Prayer is a communication that God has developed for His family. It's like you have a cellular phone plan, and each member of your family is on that plan. It's a family function. It requires that. We're going to say some more about that. It's relational. You must call out to your father. When thou praying, go in your closet, say, Our Father, not Our God. And I tell you something. The non-Christian is not as crazy as it may appear. Why do you think they often ask us to pray for them? Because they know we are God's children. They know that their line is not plugged in. They know that they don't get dial tone and all of that. It's the enemy who is trying to block them coming to a realization. How come God answered them when they say daddy? And God don't answer me. Because your line is not plugged in. You need connectivity. You need connection. You need a relationship. Prayer is relational. Prayer is the fastest means of communication known to mankind. It's reliable. It's faster than the 5G, the 6G to come, the 7G to come. There's no device that man knows of that carries the speed of prayer. It's reliable. Listen, you can never call heaven as a believer and get a busy signal. You'll never call heaven and the press secretary answer and said, please wait, he's on another line. What an amazing privilege we have as God's people. And we waste our time on social media gossiping and meddling in other people's business when we have a dial tone. Hallelujah. We have a direct bearing. Two world leaders bragging about a button they have can set off nuclear weapons. One brag about the size and all that type of stuff. Prayer is not for bragger money. It's for testimony. Testimony of God's goodness. If it doesn't lead back to God, then it's not biblical prayer. And we're going to analyze some of these things that do happen to people called prayer. Finally, prayer is the pouring out of the soul to God. Should put the word direct in there. It's a direct thing. You're not telling somebody to tell God. It's a direct communication there. And another way to put it, it's real. It's real. How many of you know as a believer you can be candid with God? You can tell God how you're feeling. We have some of them in scriptures. Tell God that you don't like what is happening. Because you notice corruption in the society. Those who obey your word and obey the government and obey the law, they are always at the back of the line. You know, there are two men who prayed like that in scripture. David and Habakkuk. Habakkuk was concerned that those who are living righteous lives and endeavor to do that, they always get left out. As soon as they reach the head of the line, there is no more product. Everything is over. And Habakkuk was candid with God. And God said, oh, you think I'm not doing anything? Come here, come here, come here. God tapped him on his shoulder and pulled him aside and pulled aside the curtains of time and showed to the prophet his plans that he's going to unveil shortly. Where you think corruption is gone unchecked, forget it. And righteousness cannot escape the sight of a righteous God. Don't we understand that? Wickedness will never run abated. That's why God brought in the flood. When Habakkuk saw the plan of God, this is where that famous saying comes from. Lord, have mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. And if you are a Jamaican, you know, and I say, Lord of mercy. Same thing as Lord of mercy. When he saw what the righteous God was bringing on wicked Jerusalem and the corrupt leaders, Habakkuk began to ask God, no, that's too much. Have mercy on them. In wrath, remember mercy. You can be real with God. You don't have to take it to gossip forums. You can tell God exactly. And I whisper something. I tell you a COVID secret. God already knows. It only seems that we don't know that he knows. But he already knows. He really want to test whether or not you're coming to him honestly. So when we remember those things about prayer, now we come to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving, or giving of thanks, be made for all men. Now, this verse lists the different types of prayers, not all of them, but most of them. So we want to look at the different types of prayers that are in the scripture. There is a prayer of confession. There's a prayer of praise. There's a prayer of thanksgiving. There's a prayer of supplication or petition. There's a prayer of intercession. And there is one called imprecatory prayer. Let's go through. Well, I'm not going to spend a lot of time today or ever at all in the last one, imprecatory prayer. You know what that is? Asking God to get rid of your enemies, pronouncing curse on those who don't like you. How could they not be in love with so much flesh? God doesn't process imprecatory prayer anymore. The river banks of God's mercy and goodness has overflowed their banks since Mount Calvary. And just remember this, by the way. Oh, God is an all-wise God. I guarantee you this, that if God was answering imprecatory prayer, we perhaps wouldn't be here. I know I wouldn't. Because I've produced a lot of enemies in my lifetime. I don't like the way you're looking at me. You too. You are somebody's enemy. So aren't you happy that God doesn't listen to those prayers anymore? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're not going to say anything more about imprecatory prayer. We can drop that one. What? Confession. A brief definition of confession as a type of prayer is, confession is agreeing, admitting, and acknowledging one's sinful state before a holy God with whom one is seeking a hearing. And when we get to that prayer confession by itself, this is just an introduction, then I'll show you a lot of biblical examples. I'm going to suggest that as individual priests, that we learn to begin our time with God with confession. I'm going to suggest strongly. And I hope at the end of the study, we'll be convinced. And if we practice that individually, then when we come together collectively, we need a brother to lead us in confession before God. I'm going to show you that from Scripture. That is necessary in our prayers. Most of the time when we approach God, we think we are using a body pass. We think we are talking to a person to whom we have right to get things. We have forgotten that God is elevated, superior above us. God is not our pal. Some of us have more reverence and respect for the man, for a city leader. The believer I'm going to show you from Scripture must approach God as God. You must remember that we are going to heaven, but we are not there yet. We are on earth. We need to be down to earth with God. We need to see Him high and lifted up. We need to see ourselves of not deserving to be given a hearing. That's what I'm talking about. That the God, the maker of the universe, would listen to me. We need to remember that God is lifted up and exalted. We are bowing before His feet at His throne as creatures, not as equals. One of the things that I'm going to be very critical of during this study It's the habit that developed among Pentecostals of declaring things in God's presence. That's blasphemy. How do you stand before a righteous, sovereign God and declare that things are going to happen? How do you do that? How it entered your mind? Think about it. We don't seem that we understand the majesty and glory of the God to whom we are praying. He's not your body. Don't treat him with a body pass. We must come prostrating ourselves and cast ourselves down and let him know that we don't deserve to hear, to be heard. It's because he's a merciful God. Like I said, we'll say some more about these things when we get to that category of prayer by itself. Daniel, he prayed, "O Master, great and august God," I'm reading from the Message by Eugene Peterson, "you never waver in your covenant commitments. Never give up on those who love you and do what you say. Yet we have sinned in every way imaginable. We have done evil things, rebelled, dodged and taken detours around your clearly marked paths." Hello? Clear instruction given, but we find a detour. Oh, Paul was just talking to rebellious women at Corinth. That's a detour from the authority of Scripture. Oh, that was back then. It's not for us today. Saints, we need to get back to obedience to the Word of God. The authority of Scripture. How is our prayers going to be effective if we don't follow instruction? "We have turned a deaf ear to your servants and prophets who preached your word to our kings and leaders, our parents, and to all the people in the land." What a confession. He's approaching God. And in case you don't know, Daniel's going to do that twice. And it's amazing that in God's response to Daniel's two confessions, we have the greatest revelation of future event given in the entire Bible. God responded to Daniel because Daniel started with confession. "Lord, we are where we are in exile. We are in the enemy's camp. Not because you forget us, we forget you. You keep the covenant, but we have broken the covenant. We deserve to be in exile," Daniel said. He's not blaming the captors, not blaming the leaders. He's not thinking about changing political parties to change your heart. He's standing before God, and the x-ray is on, the MRI is on, and he's coming clean to God. "Lord, you have always done that which is righteous. We have erred." And when we have time, we'll read some more about that prayer. In fact, he continues, "You have done everything right, Master. But all we have shown for our lives is guilt and shame," something that we don't have today. Shame. "The whole lot of us, people of Judah, citizens of Jerusalem, Israel at home, and notice this, and Israel in exile, all the places we have been banished because of our betrayal of you." Wow. Right thing to do is just to admit to God that we are in the misery we are in, not because misery is consistent with his nature, but because of our failure. And one of the things that Daniel celebrated is that God is a God who keeps his covenant. One of the prayers of dedication we're going to look at briefly before the study is over, not today, is Solomon's prayer of dedication. Solomon asked God, among other things, "When your people sin and break your covenant, and you drive them into other nations," interesting, "and they are convicted, and they confess and call you from those nations where there are captives and slaves, hear, O Lord, have mercy." God answered that prayer when Daniel prayed. God answered Solomon's prayer when Nehemiah prayed. They're calling from the enemy's camp, being slaves. And God heard. Confession is important. Very, very important. And he says, oh yes, God, we have been exposed in our shame. All of us, our kings and our leaders and parents, before whom would the whole world, and deservedly so, because we have sinned. Quickly, there's a category of praise. Praise is a jubilant celebration of the nature and worth of God as revealed in his word. Praise and thanksgiving are not the same. No. And we know that. You know how we know that? When we are about to beg somebody something, we praise them first. You see, you got to set the stage right. Make it less unlikely the person will say no by bigging up the person we said. Well, with God, you don't need to do that. You're dealing with God as God. Prayer does not call attention to what God has done, but only on who and what he is. Praise is a category of prayer that focuses on who God is and his worth. So even if he has never given you anything that you have asked for, he's still worthy of praise. Because none is like it unto him qualitatively. That's something we have forgotten to celebrate as Christians. We are so focused on blessings and things we receive. We have forgotten the totality and the majesty and the glory of God. We don't see him anymore as high and lifted up and exalted above the kingdom and thrones of earth, because we have developed a relationship with him where he is a storekeeper and I am the one seeking a particular resource. Praise then has to do a celebration of God. Well, how are you going to celebrate God as God? You got to know his attributes. You got to understand that God is eternal, that God is awesome, that God is compassionate. All these things are things you praise him for. You know why? If you don't praise God because he is eternal, to whom are you going to give that praise? You know anybody else who is eternal? You know any classmate who went to school with God? Well, Isaiah want to know. Well, Isaiah says, who has been his counselor? Who taught him knowledge? Who was there to put that thing on his head on the graduation day? God never graduated. That's the God we are talking about. Celebrating God as God. And that's what the world, the non-Christian, need to know. For they are the work of his hand. He made them all. We need to model and talk more about who God is and his attributes. Hallelujah, this psalmist says. Praise God in his house of worship. Praise him under the open sky. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his magnificent greatness. Praise him with a blast of the trumpet. And praise by thrumming the soft strings. Praise him with the castanets and dance. Praise him with the banjo and flute. Praise him with cymbals and a big bass drum. Praise him with the fiddles and the mandolin. Let every living breathing creature praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving now is different. Upon receiving something, you say thanks. Isn't that a natural thing we do with one another? Say thanks. There is nothing that discourages and hurt a giver more than to give somebody something and the person didn't even say thanks. It robs and removes the joy of giving. You don't have to worship the person, but at least you have something you didn't have a couple of minutes ago, you can say thanks. It's the right thing to do. In fact, it's one of the things that leveled against man, sinful man, and thankful. Romans 1. Those are not sins to treat lightly. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the expression of appreciation and gratitude to the Lord for his works to the children of men. Thanksgiving is tracing the source of your resources in an attitude of gratitude. When you realize the source, all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. All of them. And even though you mention Brother Grant, Brother Maurice Grant, he was the one who stretched out his hand and handed you $5. See, I'm very nice with you, brother. I could say $500, but you know what I mean? You just go, yeah, keep it reasonable. And you say thanks to him. But you don't stop there. You know why you don't stop there? People have been giving $5 long before Maurice was born. So it can't be him. He can't be the source. He's a channel. There are people who are saying thanks to other people apart from him. That is why when you terminate thanksgiving to the person who reaches out to you, that's when they are tempted to become idols in your life. Don't stop thanksgiving just with the person who handed you. Realize there's a greater hand. There's a greater source who is not only meeting your needs through Brother Grant, but meeting needs throughout the world. And that is so important for us to understand. That's thanksgiving. And we have some other statement. While idolatry tries to confer divine attributes on created objects, ingratitude seeks to make God appear less than he is. Ingratitude robs God of his unique glory, of his majesty, of his sovereignty, and of his power. Don't transfer gratitude to some other object or some other source. You've got to trace it to the root cause. Ingratitude exalts the creature above the creator. The worship of angels. Bible talks about that. There are people who pray to angels. The worship of departed saints. That has been a satanic practice of Roman Catholicism. And I don't know when they're going to get it. That you're praying to Almighty God in the name of departed saints. It's wrong. It's not scriptural. We never had anything like that in the Bible. But that's the nature of Roman Catholicism. Ingratitude brings deification of our leaders. We think that they are gods. You see, people right now in this country, the political divide, because they think that somehow God bless America came from one of the men running for president. Even though that statement is older than they are, we deify our leaders. It happened in churches. People quote their pastors that they are quoting scriptures. Pastor say this, and pastor say that. Well, if you are out in the pastors, you will think that way. But when you are among God's people, you say the Bible says. You say God says, the word of God says. We keep it that simple and accurate. And then supplication is another type of prayer. Supplication or petition. There are synonyms used in the Bible interchangeably. Supplication, petition is seeking God's intervention in our personal, family, church, or country issue. And one of the ways you can tell this category of prayer is that the person praying stands to benefit immediately when the prayer is answered. That's why it's a petition. That's why it's supplication. You understand? So that is different from another category of prayer. And we could read what Paul praying for the thorn in the flesh. That's a personal petition or supplication. He wants God to remove the impediment that he faced. And then we have another one similar to petition and supplication, which is intercession. We heard that this morning here. And we do that all the time, praying for missionaries and people abroad. Intercession is the seeking of divine help, favor, or pardon on behalf of another or others. So when you see God's help for somebody unrelated and you don't stand to benefit, that is called an intercession. Intercession requires one to go between God and mankind and passionately seek favor, help, compassion, or forgiveness. And we have examples of that throughout Scripture. The Lord in his intercessory prayer. That is the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer is found in John 17, not Matthew 6. There he prayed, and he prayed for us. You're mentioned right there. If we have the time, I would read the detail, but we're going to read it another time. It's not that like you escape. But I'll read the details of it, but we are running out of time here. And we don't have any Joshua here, I hope not, to stop the sun. So we better just need to forge ahead. But it would be interesting to walk you through that. Prayer, as we wrap this up, was the first point I made about what is prayer, positively. Prayer is communication between the Lord and his people. God set that up. I illustrated that before. That doesn't mean that a father, mother, parents don't take care of their children. They do. But sometimes a stranger, another person's child pass and asks for something. And out of the goodness of their heart. We've all done it. We have been on the streets of Brooklyn, people begging money, people asking for stuff. And there are times when we would give it to them, right? Yeah. Another time we don't even reply. Because you're under no obligation. But you don't do that when one of your children say, Daddy, I need some money to buy a textbook. Or cellular phone. Or that's a little bit too much. But whatever it is, you notice that you don't have an obligation to answer nor respond to the man on the street. It's a stranger. But the family, there's an obligation. When a child of God prays to him, you're guaranteed to get a response. Did you know that? So how people say God doesn't answer prayer? What they really mean is that God doesn't give in to prayer. Different subject. We're going to talk about that. God always answers prayer. He may tell you to wait. God may say, no, you can't have that. But why would God ever do that? When he says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll give you. I'll tell you why he can't. Because he's a good God. So if you ask for a serpent, you got to go to the zoo. God ain't going to give you something that is not consistent with his nature. No, you might be naughty. You might be disobedient. You might be wayward. But he can't answer the prayer based on your nature. The answer must match his nature. He's a good God. And so he has to deny. Because what you're asking for, really, you don't know what you're asking for. And those of us who are married for a few years, we are looking back. And see? We are looking back and we are thanking God for some prayers that we prayed before we met our current partners. And for most of us, things work out so good that we thank God, what if? Especially when you know if that person's still around. Lord of mercy. At least you understand what I'm trying to say. Prayer is relational. If you're not a born-again believer, you need to understand that. And that is why here at Good Tidings. Good Tidings. You all know what good tidings is? It's good news. That's what it is. It's good news. You're in a good place. Well, here's the good news we have for you. Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. It's good. You can't get anything better than what you have here. And here why it is good. Look at the screen. See, the gospel is good news that comes from the north, from the east, from the west, and from the south. That's how you get news. If everybody cannot be saved according to the gospel you preach, it's bad news. Or I have a word for it. New news. Well, that's the religion. The religion of the world, they bring new news. But God's message is good news. It covers the four cardinal points of the earth. No matter where you're from, all nations of the earth, you can be saved. Because this is good news that came from heaven. And as illustrated, you're here today. You're on Zoom. And you, perhaps a friend invite you to come on to listen to today's message. We just want you to know that we have good news for you. You don't have to leave the way you came. You can leave a different person. You can leave this forum, this place today, finding yourself even giving God for COVID. For because of COVID, you were brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you'll hear, oh yeah, some through great sorrows, some through pestilences, some cross roaring rivers overflowing their banks, some through the storms, but all must come through the blood. That's the only way to God. So we encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, that you kneel before Him and be reborn of His Spirit. Now you have a relationship. You don't have to ask anybody to pray for you, because the Holy Spirit plugs you back in. Now you can call heaven and you can say, Lord, can you hear me now? And Jesus will let you know, they'll answer, yes, yes, the answer is on its way. Father God, we thank you for this communication network. There are a lot of problems and trouble around us, but we can take it to Jesus. And sometimes the waves are rough and the wind are very high, but we can say, my anchor holds. We can, when it's raging and we don't know what is happening, we can step out and say, Master, care us not that we perish. Have mercy upon us. You're extravagant in mercy. Your mercy doesn't match our bad behavior. It swallows up our deficiency and our disobedience. That's why we come to you as a merciful God. Have mercy. Have mercy. We pray in Jesus' name.